As the post office continues to lose money each year, a new report recommends one way it can add to its bottom line by offering financial products, such as a check cashing card that would allow customers to make purchases and pay bills online. The idea is to provide banking services that are not available in many communities, but there's also a lot of skepticism. NPR's Brian Naylor reports.
More than a quarter of all Americans, some 68 million, are now underserved by banks, underbanked, as the report from the Inspector General of the U.S. Postal Service calls them. They live in places where there are no bank branches or just one. Many have to rely on check cashing outlets and payday loans, which often charge exorbitant fees. Betsy Cavendish, president of the Appleseed Network, says being able to go to the post office for simple financial transactions would be an ideal solution.
Many people are spending $2,500 a year or so in extra fees. They have a lack of options for small dollar loans and too few savings vehicles. Meanwhile, the Postal Service is in every zip code in the country and could potentially offer needed financial services.
The so-called underbanked are mostly low income. Many live in cities, but plenty are in rural areas. And while banks have been closing branches, of the nation's 35,000 post offices, more than half are in zip codes with one or no banks. Saying I'm going out to the post office to cash a check or make a deposit may sound strange to our ears, but for our grandparents or great-grandparents, it wasn't at all unusual. Post office banking was even a campaign issue in 1908 and might have helped Republican William Howard Taft win the White House.
It will be a great incentive for thrift in the many small places in the country having now no savings bank facilities, which are reached for the post office.
In 1910, Congress established the Postal Savings System. It was aimed at getting people to take their money out from under their mattresses and give those who didn't trust banks another option. Phil Rubio, a historian at North Carolina A&T, says for a while it was quite successful.
By the year of the Wall Street crash, 1929, they had $153 million on deposit. Postal savings banks were considered safe during the 30s when commercial banks were crashing, and 1947 is when they had their peak, $3.4 billion.
But after the war, banks raised their interest rates, making the 2% the post office was paying for savings less appealing. And by 1967, the postal savings system was out of business. Is it time to try again? The Inspector General's report estimates the Postal Service could make almost $9 billion a year in new revenue by offering banking services. For an agency that lost $5 billion last year, that's a tempting prospect. But the banking industry is dead set against the post office getting into their business. Richard Hunt is CEO of the Consumer Bankers Association.
That is a typical Washington, D.C. mentality, is you've got an agency of the government losing money. So what do they say? Well, maybe we should go to a field that we know nothing about because there's possibly money there. That would be like my flying a 747 because I slept at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
It's unclear whether the Postal Service would need approval from Congress or could simply decide to offer financial services on its own. It does now sell money orders and could argue providing other financial services, such as a reloadable prepaid card, would simply be an extension of its current offerings. But the Postal Service itself has yet to embrace the idea, saying only it's reviewing the report. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Washington.